Just on cue. I'm a man of faith, but not that much. Multiple reasons for the little towel. Jesus the Good Shepherd. That's the passage we're going to look at this morning. But for us to fully appreciate and understand that passage, we need to understand a little bit about sheep. Even though I grew up on a farm, we didn't necessarily have sheep, so it was fun to be able to do a little bit of research about sheep this week. And obviously the people that Jesus was talking to when he said, "I am the good shepherd," they had that understanding. But for us, there's a few things we need to know about sheep. Don't take this personally, but sheep are rather clueless. Out of all the domestic farm animals, sheep have the lowest IQ. Nobody's hearing a word I'm saying. They're all like, "Ah." Sheep not only are clueless, they're also very defenseless. Think about it. If you're a sheep, and you are out in the pasture, and there is a wolf or coyote coming towards a sheep, what are your options? None are too good, okay? Sheep aren't going to outrun the predator. They're not going to be able to stand and fight off the predator. They're defenseless. They're also literally very helpless. They would never be able to survive and navigate without a shepherd. They need a shepherd to care for them, to lead them, to guide them, to protect them. Interesting that the imagery, the metaphor of a sheep and a shepherd describing the relationship with God and human beings is the second most used metaphor in Scripture. The first most used metaphor is the imagery of God as a father and us as his children. But both in the Old and New Testament, we see this imagery of us being sheep and God being the shepherd. We also need to understand the context or the environment in which sheep would live, particularly in the day of Jesus. When they were out on the country hillside, you might see pictures and it looked peaceful and beautiful, but it was a rather dangerous place. There was lots of predators. There was sheep rustlers. Today we have bank robbers and armed robbers, armed robberies. Back in the day, there was sheep robbers. Sheep was worth money. They would come in at night and look to steal sheep. There was the weather and all of the environments. This morning, we need to understand not only are we like sheep, but the context and the times in which we live are very unsettling. There's lots of dangers in life, challenges in life that we needed to navigate through. And it's within that context that Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And Jesus makes that statement in John chapter 10. And I want to encourage you to turn there now. John chapter 10. Say goodbye to the sheep. John chapter 10, looking at the words of Jesus, what did he mean when he said, "I am the good shepherd"? Before we read John chapter 10, I want us to see the context. There is no time gap or difference in between John chapter 9 and John chapter 10. For those of you who weren't here last week, in John chapter 9, was a story about Jesus healing the blind man. And then there was this ongoing discussion between the blind man and the Pharisees, and Jesus got in on the discussion at the end and talked about spiritual blindness. It's in that very same discussion, part of that very same dialogue, that Jesus now begins to illustrate this imagery, this metaphor of him being a shepherd. His heart and his desire is he's trying to communicate to the Pharisees. He's trying to communicate to the disciples how he desires to relate to them, to mankind. And so he uses this metaphor, John chapter 10. Follow along as I read. He says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and his sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. Now you may say, wait a minute. In this metaphor, Jesus says, I am the gate. And then he says, I am the good shepherd. My first response, well, in the metaphor, in the imagery, Jesus, are you the gate or are you the shepherd? But it was fun as I did some research. The people would have understood what Jesus was saying because the shepherds would bring the flock into the sheep pen at night for protection. And at the opening of the sheep pen, the shepherd would lay down. The shepherd would be the gate to protect the predators from coming in, to protect the sheep from going out. The shepherd was the gate. So when Jesus says, I am the gate, and he says, I am the shepherd, he's saying the very same thing. Let's continue on. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now contrast what we just read about the hired hand with Jesus. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Here again, let's just take a moment and pause here. What is Jesus saying? I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is communicating that there will be a time, very shortly, that the Gentiles, not just the Jews, will become part of the family of God. That there will be other sheep who are not part of the sheep pen, but they will all be part of one flock with one shepherd. Let's continue on. Verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, they are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Referencing what took place there in John chapter 9. As we look at Jesus being the good shepherd, Jesus is offering us, to us, I will be your good shepherd. For those of you who have never come to that point in time where you trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you are not a Christ follower. You haven't come to that point. For you, I want you to understand what Christ is offering you this morning. For those of us who have come to that point in our lives, I want to remind you all that we have in Christ. I want you to understand all that is in that metaphor. That is for us, that Jesus is our good shepherd. Let's take a close look at verse 3 and 4. It says, the watchman opens the gate for him, referring to the shepherd. And the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. We see in verse 3 that he calls his own by name. The shepherd knows the sheep by name. Each of the sheep in the flock have a name. When the shepherd looks at the flock, he doesn't just simply see a flock of sheep. He sees individual sheep that he knows by name. Christ, as the good shepherd, when he looks at humanity, he doesn't simply see a crowd. He sees individuals that he knows by name. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our challenges. He knows our struggles. Why? Because there is a relationship between Jesus and the shepherd, between the shepherd and the sheep. Verse 3, he says, he leads them out of the sheep pen. He goes on ahead of them. Why do the sheep follow the shepherd? Because the shepherd has relationship with the sheep. The shepherd spends the time with the sheep. The shepherd doesn't send the sheep out into the pasture during the day and stay back at the sheep pen. No, he's out with the sheep. He has a relationship with the sheep. They follow him because he has a relationship with him. Verse 4 says, sheep follow him because they know his voice. Here again, indicating the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Between services, Clyde Heaston came to me. Clyde has spent many years in the Middle East. And he said, Jeff, he said, the imagery that comes to my mind as I picture sheep following a shepherd is, he says, picture a very full market of people, okay? A crowd of people that's very crowded, elbow to elbow. And then picture an individual walking through that crowd with the sheep following directly behind that individual. He says, the shepherd, as he walks through the crowd, never even looks back to make sure that the sheep is following. The sheep follow the shepherd because of the relationship. This morning, in the midst of life's challenges, in the midst of the uncertainty of the times in which we live, Jesus says to us, I am the good shepherd. I want to have a relationship with you. Let's understand the depth of the relationship that Christ wants to have with us by looking at verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is communicating to them, to the crowd, even though they probably didn't get it, that he was going to literally lay down his life for the sheep. He was going to die on the cross for us. In contrast to the hired hand, what's the hired hand do? When the predators come, he runs and hides. But what does a true shepherd do? A shepherd puts himself between the sheep and the predator, willing to lay down his life. That's the kind of shepherd Jesus is. That's the kind of love that he has for us. So we take a close look at verses 14 and 15. What is the word that we see over and over again in these two verses? In fact, it's four times. No. He says, I know my sheep. My sheep know me. The Father knows me, and I know the Father. To fully appreciate the depth of this meaning, we need to understand the word to know in the Hebrew language. It's a Hebrew verb that literally means the love relationship between a husband and wife. In fact, the New American Standard translates this Hebrew verb to know as to had relationships with. Catch this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, describing the relationship between Joseph and Mary, it literally reads this, that Joseph was not knowing Mary, did not have relationships with Mary until after the birth of Jesus. And so what Jesus is communicating when he says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The Father knows me, and I know the Father. He's talking about a relationship so intimate that's describing the most intimate moments between a husband and wife. And he also uses the description of his relationship with God the Father as an indication of the kind of relationship that he desires to have with us. He says, the Father knows me. I know the Father. It's that kind of oneness and unity and depth that Christ desires for us. Christ isn't offering us a formula or a three-step process to deal with uncertain times and the dangers of this world. He's offering us himself. He's offering us a deep and intimate relationship. Now, some of you this morning might be saying, okay, but how do I have that kind of deep and intimate relationship with Christ when I can't even physically see him? Here again, there's not a formula. But as we talked about last week, having spiritual eyes to see how God comes and meets us, I am here to tell you that God meets us in personal and intimate ways, in all sorts of ways. Sometimes he comes and meets us in his written word. Maybe you've had this experience. There's been a verse that you've known all your life, but a certain day when you read that verse, it just has new and fresh meaning, and it was just what you needed to hear at that moment. Maybe somebody has a conversation with you and they walk away and they don't really think anything about that conversation. But in that conversation, they said something to you and you're like, oh man, that is just what I needed to hear. And in your spirit, you know it wasn't a coincidence that you had that conversation. You know it was God ministering to the deep places of your heart. I love hearing stories from individuals who share with me how God meets them in personal and intimate ways. In fact, I had a dialogue even before the service. An individual shared with me that they came back from the mountains this weekend just so they could be here. This individual has some challenges and struggles in her life. And she says, Jeff, she says, I've been really helped with the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. She comes back from the mountains, drawn to be here. Psalm 23 is what God's using to minister to the deep places of her heart. She comes to the service, and God has waiting for her. Psalm 23, Jesus the Good Shepherd. That's what God does. He meets us in personal and intimate ways. What else does Christ offer us as the Good Shepherd? Look with me in verses 3 and 4. It says that the sheep listen to his voice because they know his voice. Verse 16 says, they too will listen to my voice. Jesus offers us guidance. He offers us direction in the midst of the many voices. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Here again, let me give you some context. Four or five shepherds would bring their flocks into the same sheep pen. Rather than just each of them having their own 15, 20 sheep in an individual sheep pen, they would bring them all together. They would be able to sit around the fire, have some connection, and help protect each other's flock. But think about having 50 to 60 sheep in the sheep pen to four or five different shepherds. Now, how are they going to sort those sheep in the morning so that each shepherd gets the appropriate 10, 12, 15 sheep? They don't go in there with their staff and rod and start saying, you go here, you go here. The shepherd would come to the opening of the sheep pen, and he would begin to sing a song. He might have a chant. But the sheep who were connected to that shepherd would poke up their heads. They'd look around. Why? Because they recognized that song. They recognized that voice. The shepherd just begins to walk out into the pasture. Who follows that shepherd? The sheep that are part of his flock leave the sheep pen and they follow the shepherd. Those who don't belong to that shepherd stay in the sheep pen. It's a picture of the kind of relationship that Christ wants to have with us, where we follow where he leads. Why? Because we know his voice. In the midst of the many voices that are bombarding our minds, we can identify his voice. We know his voice. As we think about, well, what are the many voices that bombard us? We have voices from within, and we have voices, external voices. As I think of internal voices, some of them can be characterized by voices of hopelessness, voices of despair. These voices whisper into our hearts and minds something like this: your situation's never going to change. Your marriage is never going to change. You're never going to change. You're always going to be like you are. You might as well give up. Don't have hope. You're only going to be disappointed again. We hear voices of hopelessness. We also hear voices of elevating self. Yeah, you deserve better than that. Stand up for yourself. Look out for yourself. Treat yourself. Do it your way. Yeah, you deserve that. Go ahead, take. We also hear voices that challenge the character of God. You can't trust God. God doesn't really love you. He's not really involved in the details of your lives. If he was good, how would that difficult situation have happened? God's not good. When we start listening to those voices, it gets really cloudy, really quick. We lose our way. And in the midst of those voices, in the midst of those lies, we need to be able to hear the voice of truth, the voice of the shepherd. At the same time, we're bombarded with internal voices. We're also bombarded with external voices. I have here a journal. It's the Central Pennsylvania Holistic Health Networker. On the back, it has May 2nd and 3rd, would have been this past May, 2008, Claim Your Power, a life-changing conference. You can listen to John Holland. Here's what John Holland says. He's one of the top psychic mediums and spiritual teachers in the USA and celebrated TV guest personality. John will explain and demonstrate the different forms of communication and the mechanics he uses to open the link with loved ones who have passed on to the other side. Here again. Go to Hershey Convention Center. It's right here. These are the voices that come towards us. Angelwood Production presents Successful Intuitive Living, a powerful two-day workshop to change your life. Develop intuitive skills, increase energy, release fears, clear blocks and limitations, claim the power within, make positive changes now, walk away with an action plan to change your life. Lunch included. Somehow that didn't fit. Right next to lunch included, $1.99 per person. That wasn't $1.99. But for $200, that's what they're offering at this two-day workshop at the Courtyard Marriott, Mechanicsburg, PA. Here again, it is just full of organizations and people and resources and books and materials and conference centers and retreats, all here in central Pennsylvania. This is the kind of message that is coming towards us. It's in the midst of those voices that we need to be able to discern the voice of the shepherd, the voice of truth. Read one more. It's the healing space. Does it ever feel like everyone else is catching the spirituality wave? You're left standing on the beach, peering longingly out to the sea. You feel the desire to catch the wave, but your legs won't move, or you're afraid you might sink if you decide to swim. Or maybe you've been following the spiritual path, but it hasn't translated into an improved life for you. You wonder to yourself, what is the secret to living a life with passion and meaning? At the Healing Space, we teach you the tools to help you figure out what's keeping you stuck. With rapid results, we help you live your best life, a life that's real, authentic, and you know what? The answers are inside. So in the midst of all the voices that come at us, in the midst of the voices that come to us from within, how do we discern the voice of the shepherd? How do we hear that voice of truth? We learn to hear his voice because we know the shepherd's book. As we know the shepherd's book, we will be able to discern and hear his voice in the midst of all the other voices that are clamoring for our attention. We need to know the shepherd's book. If you only open up your Bible when you come on a Sunday morning, it's going to be hard for you to hear and to know the shepherd's voice. You have to know the shepherd's book. Individuals have said to me, you know what? I don't read my Bible every day. God still loves me. You know what? You're absolutely right. God loves me whether I read my Bible every day or not. If I don't open my Bible this week and I read my Bible every day next week, God's love for me is the same. It's unconditional. But at the same time, we need to know his book. We need to read the shepherd's book. Remember this interesting email, and I tracked it down this week. It says this: I wonder what would happen if we treated our Bible like we treat our cell phones. Anybody ever see this come across your computer? Here's what it says. What if we carried it around in our purses or pockets? What if we flipped through it several times a day? What if we turned back to get it if we forgot it? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in case of emergency? If we want to be able to discern and hear the guiding voice of the shepherd so that we can navigate through the challenges of the hill country, we need to know the shepherd's book. Thirdly, look with me in John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. In this metaphor, the thief represents Satan. His intent is to come and to destroy us. He says, but Christ says, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. I have come so that you might have life and have it to the full. Here's how Eugene Peterson translates the words of Jesus in the message. He says, I came so that you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. More and better life than you ever dreamed of. It's important for us to understand what this full and abundant life is. In our Western American culture, when we hear abundant life, we think of possessions and things and success and comfort. Hate to tell you, that's not what Jesus is promising when he says, I am the good shepherd. Is he promising us a trouble-free life? Is that the abundant life? I don't think so. That's not our experience. In fact, when we come to Christ, sometimes we have more problems. Scripture says we enter into the sufferings of Christ. It's a privilege to enter into the sufferings of Christ. What does he mean when he says, I've come so that you might have a full and abundant life? He's not talking about what this world has to offer. Follow along if you're taking notes. Christ is offering us an abundant life characterized by peace, strength, rest, hope, and joy. It was a joy for me this week to look up the various verses that connected what Christ is promising with us to him. Let's look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 16, verse 33. I'd encourage you to follow along on the back of your handouts. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So in the midst of the trouble of this fallen and broken world, Christ, the Good Shepherd, is offering us peace. Peace. An inner peace. To be at peace with ourselves. To be at peace with God. To be at peace with our circumstances. Look at Philippians 4:13, the words of the Apostle Paul. When he said, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." I can do everything through him, through Christ who gives me strength. Where did the Apostle Paul say his strength came from? Through Christ. And if you're familiar with all that the Apostle Paul had to endure, it's obvious that he needed a strength that was beyond himself. It was an inner strength that came through Christ by the Holy Spirit. Christ, the Good Shepherd, is offering us strength. Some of us need that strength that is beyond yourself. Some of you have trouble getting out of bed in the morning to face the day because you're depressed. Because you don't want to face the pain and the rejection that you know is part of that day all over again. You need a strength, a peace that is outside of yourself, that comes from Christ. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Isn't that what our heart longs for? Rest. Physical rest. Emotional rest. Spiritual rest. In the midst of the clutter, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the pain, rest. It's what Jesus offers. Look at what Titus says, chapter 2, verse 13. "While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." See where our hope is connected with? Our hope is connected with Christ. It can't be in our circumstances changing because our circumstances may or may not get better. The uncertainty of the world in which we live might get better, might get worse. Our hope can't be in that. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in that the victory has been granted through Christ, through the death and resurrection. We know the final chapter. We know how life is going to end on this earth. The victory has been granted. There is hope in Christ. And last, and maybe my favorite, is John chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus said, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Jesus says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." That you can have joy apart from your circumstances. No matter what is going on in your life right now, you can have joy. You can have peace. You can have strength. Because it's in Christ. If you're here and you're saying, Jeff, you don't know my life. That's impossible. You're listening to the wrong voice. It's a lie. This is what Christ offers you. Now, I want us to be realistic here, okay? This is what Christ offers us: peace, joy, strength, hope. For some of us, the challenges and the internal struggles in our lives are very interwoven and are very deep and are rooted in a lot of pain and hurt. And there's a lot of reasons for all of that. But the promise is still for you. It might not be instantaneous. We live in an instantaneous society. We want things now. The offer of the Good Shepherd is for you. It just might not be now. It might be a process. It might be a long and painful process. It might be a hard process. I'll tell you right now, it's a process to finding this in Christ that you can't go alone. Here at CBC, we are committed to helping you find this in Christ. And so if you're saying, Jeff, I need someone to help me find this in Christ, call the church office, send me an email. We'll hook you up with the pastor, with someone here at the church, a counselor. Depending on a situation, we will help you have someone walk alongside you so that you can have joy, peace, hope, strength in Christ. How does Psalm 23 begin? The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd this morning? Remember the imagery of the sheep leaving the sheep pen, following the shepherd? Is that the way you're living your life? Hearing his voice, following his lead, trusting him? Is the Lord your shepherd? Let's pray. There's a couple questions on your handout. I want to take just a moment for you to reflect on. I'd encourage you to look at them later today. Take some time to meditate on them. Here's a question for you to search your heart over. What gets in the way of me having an intimate relationship with Christ? What gets in the way of me having an intimate relationship with Christ? Or what are the wrong voices I listen to? Or another important question, what am I holding on to that keeps me from experiencing the abundant life of Christ? Many times we're not experiencing the abundant life of Christ because there's something that we're holding on to. If you're here this morning and Christ isn't your personal shepherd, I want to give you the opportunity to receive Christ as your shepherd. If that's the desire of your heart this morning, just simply in the quietness of your heart as we have heads bowed, eyes closed, just say, Dear God, I recognize that I'm like the sheep, helpless, defenseless, in need of a shepherd. I understand the imagery. I need a shepherd. I need Jesus to help me navigate through the uncertainties of the challenges of this world. In the quietness of your heart, communicate that you acknowledge that you haven't been following Christ, that you've been doing it your own way. Acknowledge that you're thankful and that there's hope and forgiveness in Christ. Thank him for that hope and forgiveness. Let him know your heart's desire is to follow him. If that's your heart's desire, to follow the shepherd this morning, to have him as your personal shepherd, raise your hand so we can pray for you. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. It's great. Dear Lord, I am so thankful that you're a good shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've made available to us. Help us to hear and discern your voice so that we can follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.